From the land of the Grand Teutoburg City in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the second day of August 2016. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. A bit later in the program, the USDA NAS state statisticians will join us with updates from their regions, an important update, especially as you listen from Indiana all the way through Minnesota. A big difference in those states, even though most of the states are reporting really good conditions. And then as we wrap up our time together, we'll talk about the agricultural energy markets with Harry Cooney. He's at GrowMark in Bloomington, Illinois. And Don Day from Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming will be here, not only to talk about the weather forecast, but his weekend event with Heaven Sent. You saw the guy jump out of the plane 25,000 feet and land in that net. Don was the meteorologist, and it all happens right here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Here are the numbers as they finished up in Chicago for a Tuesday afternoon. Down a penny and a half in the September corn at $3.24 and a quarter. December at $3.34, a quarter lower. The March contract up a half at $3.43 and three quarters. And the May at $3.50 and a half, up 1.5 cents. July up two at $3.56 and three quarters. August soybeans down 10 and three quarters, $9.85 and a quarter. The settlement price September down a dime at 971 and a quarter, November 953, 8.5 lower, and the January at 954 and a quarter, down 7.75. March contract at 984 and a half, down a nickel for the day, and next year's July at 950 and a quarter, down 1.75 cents. Bean oil at $30.06, up 31 cents. Bean meal down $5.60 at $328.40. September soft red winter wheat at $4 a penny and a quarter, down 4.75. December a nickel lower at 428, and July at 476 and a quarter in the soft red, down 3.5 cents. Hard red July finished that contract at 469 and three quarters, 2.5 cents lower. Live cattle futures in Chicago finished the nearby August contract up 20 cents, that at $116.12.5. October at 114.45, up 37.5 cents. Feeder cattle for the day at $145.80, $1.25 higher in the August. September up 92.5 cents at $144 even, and the lean hogs at $68.80, 15 cents higher. October down 27.5 at $60.32.5. You're listening to the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities now joins us from Newmarket, Indiana, to take a look at what happened in Chicago on this Tuesday afternoon, the second day of August. But Wayne, I'd like to go through some numbers that came to me just not very long ago from Douglas County, just to the south of us here in Illinois, where they were out on a Farm Bureau crop tour. And the Douglas County Farm Bureau reports that a really good crop is on hand, better than that they've ever seen. In fact, the best one back in 2014 was about 206, nearly 207 bushels to the acre. This one better than 211 bushels to the acre for corn. I suppose, however, Wayne, that that's probably not out of perspective given the kind of weather conditions we've had so far this year.
Well, you know, we got the numbers there from FC Stone yesterday. They're having quite good numbers, even probably higher than that. We saw R.J. O'Brien's numbers today. They're a 14.724 crop, and the beans at a 4.002 crop. So they're saying the same thing. They're saying an awfully good crop out there for what we're seeing today, if we can finish this crop off with some a few nice showers the rest of August, Todd.
What do you see in the marketplace today?
Well, we saw that, you know, one of the things is sort of the global economic growth has been very slow. They don't like a lot of things going on. The futures markets and the S&Ps and the other things were down on that. The lower energy prices pushed us down. We saw at noon about 6,000 contracts. The funds had been selling beans, about 7,000 corn and 5,000 wheat. And along with that, you know, we went down. We went through some pretty big points. We went through that 333 on the Dease corn. We went down as low as 29, and we took that 955 out in the November beans, went down as low as 44 and a quarter before we bounced back on the close.
What are your expectations for the rest of the week?
Well, I think it's going to depend a little bit. I think we bounced back a little bit on the close because of the weather forecast. Looking like maybe parts of Illinois, Indiana, and Ohio might not see much rain for the next 8 days, and I think that sort of played into a little bit of short covering at the end of the day. I think also that, we've pushed this market awful hard for the last couple weeks, and we're getting down to some levels here where some people are doing some bargain buying.
Yeah, so bargain buying for some folks, does this mean that we should maybe see a bounce at some point?
Well, I think we can hang in here. I don't know about a big bounce here. I think depending on what we're in the near future, until we can get a couple more weeks down the road and see a few more of the field reports like Douglas County. If they keep coming in like that, why, maybe we fade off a little bit. There was one of the advisory firms today that put out, if you figured in a 175 yield and on their usage table and what everything, they thought the bottom in the Dease corn should be 305 to 315. So that's, 15 to 20 cents lower again here from where we're at, but they thought there should still be a little weather premium for now.
Well, I suppose it's time to turn our attention to the demand side of this equation then.
Yeah, it is, and I'll tell you, the as we look at things, of course, we saw China in buying some more beans today. We continue to hear that Dr. Cordonaire lowered the Brazilian safrinha crop again, lower than what the USDA had it in the last report. So we continue to see our competition sort of shrinking as far as things go. And it looks like, we're going to have a very, very big crop, but we're going to have better than normal export demand, which could help us make up for a lot of the shortcomings of having way too big a crop.
All right. Anything else to add before I let you go for the day?
Now, I think, watch the weather real close because it's going to be important whether we continue on down or move back up just a little bit.
Hey, thanks so much, Wayne.
Thanks, Todd.
Wayne Nelson, of course, is with L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Here's what USDA NAS had to say yesterday afternoon about the U.S. corn crop. 91% of the corn has now silked in the 18 reporting states. That compares with the rolling five-year average of 85%. 30% of the crop is in the dough stage. The rolling five-year average is 25%. The condition of the crop remains very good this week, 56% good, 20% excellent. That adds up to the same 76% good to excellent in those two categories. However, last week those numbers were 57 and 19. So again, this week, one percentage point change, just flopping one into the excellent condition, so it's in better condition than it was in the previous week. Soybeans blooming said now to be at 85% around the 18 reporting states. 79% is the rolling five-year average. 54% of the crop is set pods. That compares to 44% normally. The condition of the crop, 56% good, 16% excellent, compared to last week at 56% good and 15% excellent. So it too improved by one percentage point. By one percentage point, however, that actually shows up in the total counts that you normally would get in the good to excellent categories. Now, here are the state statisticians with updates from their regions.
This is Doug Hartwig, Deputy Director for USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service Upper Midwest Region. Relatively dry conditions throughout the week were ideal for crop development and allowed Iowa farmers 5.4 days suitable for fieldwork. Activities for the week included cutting hay and aerial spraying of corn with fungicides and insecticides. 95% of the corn crop reached the silking stage, 5 days ahead of last year and almost 2 weeks ahead of the five-year average. 35% of the corn reached the dough stage. Isolated reports of corn starting to dent were received from across the state. Corn condition rated 83% good to excellent. Soybeans blooming reached 90%, 6 days ahead of last year, and 64% of the soybeans were setting pods, and that's 5 days ahead of last year. Soybean condition rated 83% good to excellent. 78% of the oat crop for grain or seed was harvested, 2 days ahead of both last year and the average. The second cutting of alfalfa hay reached 93% complete, more than 2 weeks ahead of last year and 10 days ahead of normal. That is the Iowa Weekly Crop Progress and Condition Report for the week ending July 31st, 2016. I'm Doug Hartwig, Deputy Director for USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Upper Midwest Region.
This is Mark Schleusener, State Statistician for Illinois with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Warm temperatures and timely rains kept crops in good condition over the past week. Temperatures ranged from 1 to 3 degrees above normal for the week. The state average rainfall was 1.14 inches, more than a quarter of an inch above normal. Northwestern and western parts of the state had below normal rainfall for the week. 97% of corn acres have reached the silking stage or beyond, compared to 95% for the five-year average. 38% of acres are now in the doe stage, compared to 42% 1 year ago and 42% normally. The condition of the corn crop improved slightly and is now rated as 3% of acres are very poor to poor, 14% are fair, and 83% of corn acres are in good to excellent condition. For soybeans, 85% of acres are blooming, compared to 84% normally. 51% of acres are setting pods, compared to 46% 1 year ago and 48% for the five-year average. The condition of the soybean crop declined slightly, and now 6% of acres are in very poor to poor condition, 17% are fair, and 77% are in good to excellent condition. In other crops, 48% of sorghum acres are headed and 13% are turning color. 66% of oats are harvested and the second cutting of alfalfa hay is 95% complete. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Dan Loftus, State Statistician for the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office. During the week, there were 5.1 days suitable for field work and good progress was made on small grain harvests. One quarter of Minnesota's oat acreage was harvested for grain during the week. Other field activities for the week included cutting and baling hay as weather permitted. 95% of Minnesota's corn acreage was silking or beyond. 26% of the crop reached the doe stage, a week ahead of the five-year average and 4 days ahead of last year. Corn condition rated 85% good to excellent. That's up 1 percentage point from the previous week. 64% of the soybean crop was setting pods, a week ahead of average. Soybean condition rated 80% good to excellent. That's up 2 percentage points from last week. 13% of the spring wheat acreage had been harvested. That's equal to the five-year average. Spring wheat condition rated 69% good to excellent. 35% of the oat crop had been harvested for grain. That's 3 days ahead of average and 4 days ahead of last year. Oat condition rated 77% good to excellent. That's down 1 percentage point from the previous week. 18% of the barley acreage had been harvested. That's slightly behind average. Barley condition rated 63% good to excellent, and that's up 1 percentage point from last week. Sugar beet condition rated 87% good to excellent. That's up 2 percentage points from the previous week. Second cutting of alfalfa hay was 89% complete. The third cutting of alfalfa hay was 36% complete, and that's 8 days ahead of last year. All hay condition rated 81% good to excellent. For the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
This is Janice Presbury with the Great Lakes Regional Office of the National Agricultural Statistics Service with the Indiana Crop and Weather Report for the week ending July 31st, 2016. High temperatures and varying amounts of rain in the state left many fields in need of more moisture. Recorded precipitation ranged from 0.01 to 5.21 inches with a statewide average of 1 inch. Corn dough was 29% complete compared to 19% last year and 21% 5-year average. Corn rated in good to excellent condition was 77% in the north, 82% in central, and 65% in the south. Leaf rolling, stalk firing, and uncontrolled weeds appeared in some areas, reflecting both the overly wet spring and dry summer. Soybeans blooming were 80% complete, compared to 78% last year and 80% 5-year average. Soybean setting pods were 50% complete compared to 51% last year and 47% 5-year average. Soybeans rated in good to excellent condition were 77% in the north, 80% in central, and 65% in the south. Soybeans are entering a critical stage for rain and are beginning to sow stress. Second crop beans appear to be doing well. That concludes this week's Indiana Crop and Weather Report for the week ending July 31st, 2016. This is Janice Price-Berry reporting.
Our thanks go to the state statisticians for their weekly updates in their regions. Next week, USDA NAS will add one more table to this report. It now has silking, doe, and condition reports. Next week, the table for dented should be included. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on a Tuesday. I'm Todd Gleason. We're joined now by Harry Cooney to take a look at the agricultural energies. He's with Grow Mark. Good afternoon to you, Harry. Thanks for being with us.
Yes, sir. Good afternoon, Todd. Tuesday afternoon here, watching these energy markets, and we've had quite a sell-off here in the past month, especially this month, the month of July, or I should say last month, the month of July, the market sold off quite a bit after peaking there in mid-June. Crude oil peaked out just over $50 a barrel, and here today poked its head under the $40 a barrel mark. So had about a $10 sell-off.
We've had a sell-off, but going into an election, do we know anything about what happens with energies in the United States?
I haven't really seen any definitive studies done on it. How I'm going about it is that the election itself really doesn't have any impact on my thought process of whether I want to buy or not buy, or fill up my tanks or not. That's just a larger bug on my windshield, as I would say, because elections come and go, the markets will continue on, and so I've had a number of questions about that, though. What do I expect the markets to do as a result of the election? And to me, I would look at it that we're getting some good values to fill up ahead of harvest for, like, end users on the ag side. They could fill up diesel fuel here. We had a recommendation here about a week ago to fill up your diesel inventories ahead of harvest. It's a great opportunity here with the market selling off the way it has to get those inventories filled up ahead of what appears to be a pretty good size harvest.
Yeah, so I suppose that you look at supply and demand, and this time you're saying the sell-off is actually a buying opportunity for producers. What do you see going forward?
Well, going forward, my guess is you'll probably have some type of a rally at some point between now and mid-fall, and then you tend to have another sell-off into the Thanksgiving to Valentine's time period, and that's when we tend to start looking at getting contract gallons on the books for next year, even though some of the values out there for next year here now don't look too bad. So for an end user, they're just mostly looking at the values, what bargains there are, how it compares to what their cash flow budgeted numbers are. And whenever you can take and lock numbers in at or under those budgeted numbers, it seems to be good business.
What do the inventories for all types of liquid fuels look like at this point?
Well, liquid fuel inventory is well above normal levels for this time of year. Gasoline stocks, surprisingly, have actually showed some small builds in the past month or so. Nothing big, but for this time of year, that's a little unusual. Diesel stocks still above normal also. Not quite as far above normal, though, as the gasoline stocks are.
And for propane?
Propane stocks in good shape, about where we were a year ago now, which was a very high level. That's what's allowed prices to come down. There's another place where there's bargains to be had if end users need to lock some in for fall grain drying. Whether they're going to have much of grain drying or not, it's yet to be seen. Or home heat, or for commercial uses. These values are good this year, especially compared to the last 5 or 10 years.
You suggested again that producers should be making some purchases for the fall. That would mostly be diesel fuel, and that supplies were pretty good sized. What about demand? It must be pretty level, or is it falling off as well?
Well, demand is interesting. Demand in gasoline has been pretty good, and demand in gasoline has been pretty good because the pump prices have been very reasonable here throughout the driving season. Now, diesel demand has not been quite as strong. It's not been bad, but it's not been nearly as strong as gasoline demand. And what's happened in diesel fuels, the over-the-road trucking industry is by far the largest use category. That's had a little bit of a soft patch here at times throughout the past 6 months. But the other thing is railroad demand. Coal movement by the railroads is down. Coal movement's down compared to some past years. So those are two large demand categories for diesel fuel.
Hey, thanks, Harry, for taking so much time with me today.
We'll do it again.
All right. In 1 month, that's Harry Cooney. He's with GrowMark there in Bloomington, Illinois. Joins us on this Tuesday. Back in a couple minutes, we'll talk about the agricultural weather forecast with Don Day of Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. And just a heads up, Don was busy over the weekend with something called Heaven's Sent. If you saw a guy jump out of a plane 25,000 feet without a parachute, Don was there. More in 2 minutes. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Tuesday afternoon. Don Day now joins us. Last week, Don, you did one of the greatest things I think I've ever seen happen. At least you were part of it. A 25,000-foot, no-parachute dive into a net. This is called Heaven Sent, for those who want to look it up on YouTube. What an extraordinary event this must have been for you to be involved with as a meteorologist.
Oh, yeah. It was a great thrill and a great honor. It was definitely nerve-wracking, but I was there to help assist Luke Higgins, the jumper, with the weather, because the weather was critical. We couldn't have any unexpected winds or strong winds to blow him off course. So it was something that I'll never forget, that's for sure.
It was extraordinary. Again, folks can go take a look at it. In fact, I'll try to just drop it into the WillAg website. I'm sure it's there on YouTube, and I can embed that file so that they can take a look. Now, we need to talk about the weather, not from the jump site, but from the Midwest and other places around the planet. What do you see for this week? It looks like a hot one.
Yeah, it is going to be a hot one. You know, this is a textbook August weather pattern. It's hot. It's going to be muggy. But at the same time, we see some opportunities for rain coming on in. There's going to be just the right mix of moisture, that higher humidity air coming up from the south, and small disturbances moving across the northern plain states that will initiate thunderstorm development. The center of the high pressure is going to be to the west of us, so we're not going to be in the worst of the heat, sort of on the edge of it. At the end of the day, though, Todd, we're looking at a pattern that's pretty typical for August, and it's the right mix of heat to keep things growing and the right mix of occasional rain to keep things growing.
Tell me about the rainfall.
Well, rainfall is going to be sort of on an off and on basis. Certainly nothing setting up to be settling in for a few days at a time, but we're going to have something come through about every 36 to 48 hours. That's going to give the opportunity for the development of shower and thunderstorm activity across most of the Midwest and Corn Belt. There's no indication of a dry area showing up in the nation's midsection, at least here for the next couple of weeks.
There are dry areas in the nation. Let's move off to the west just a bit. Tell me about California and some of the wildfires that we've been watching blaze.
Well, certainly the West is dry and has dried out a lot, you know, from California into the northern and central and southern Rockies, although the thunderstorm monsoon season, we call it, has gotten more active in Arizona and New Mexico and is expected to go a little bit more north into the central Rockies and into some of the western high plains that are dry right now. Portions of western Nebraska, eastern Colorado, eastern Wyoming, western Kansas could all use some rain. I think they've got some good chances here in the next week or two of seeing that. I think the driest of all dry areas will still be the far western states.
Hey, thanks so much. We appreciate what you do for us. And boy, I love to watch you do with Red Bull and Stride Gum and all those cool places when folks are doing things high above the earth.
It's crazy. There's a lot going on. When you look up, there's more up there than you think.
All right. Hey, thanks so much, Don.
Thank you.
Don Day is with Day Weather from Cheyenne, Wyoming. He joins us on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Do look us up online at WILLAG.org.